Whatsoever they bid you. My title, Whatsoever They Bid You, is a phrase from the King James Version of Matthew 23, verse 3. And you're welcome to turn there. The whole verse reads like this: All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Well, what does this verse actually mean? And that's what I'm going to try and answer today. Let's start with who is speaking to whom. And if we back up to the beginning of the chapter, we read some helpful context. So if we look at Matthew 23, verse 1, it says, Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and his disciples, saying, The scribes and Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. So the who question is easily answered. Jesus is speaking to the crowds and his disciples, and he is speaking about the scribes and Pharisees. But then Jesus makes a puzzling statement to do what they, the scribes and Pharisees, tell you to do. In a more modern English translation, we get the same message. This is from the English Standard Version that says, So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do, for they preach but do not practice. Or as we would probably say it to do today, do what they tell you. The problem that many people see is that this seems to contradict other plain statements of Jesus. In fact, beginning in verse 13 of Matthew 23, Jesus scolds the scribes and Pharisees in what is known as the eight woes, saying them over and over again. He says, Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And he says it eight times. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Jesus' own example in Matthew 15 also seems to contradict the saying, Whatsoever they bid you. Jesus did not teach his disciples to observe and do whatever the Pharisees said. In this case, the disciples did not wash their hands according to the tradition. If we look at Matthew 15:1, the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? And he answered them, For they do not wash their hands when they eat. I almost forgot a part of that there. He answered them, And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? So what tradition are the Pharisees talking about? This is a quote from My Jewish Learning. It says, This hand washing was not about physical cleanliness. It was a ritual. There are various customs regarding how the water should be poured. But a common practice is to pour twice on the right hand, followed by twice on the left. The tradition is unrelated to personal hygiene, and a person is still required to perform this ritual even if his hands are clean. End quote. Well, would this teaching even apply today? The scribes and Pharisees are long gone, right? Well, not really. The Pharisaism of old became Judaism of today. Another quote from Wikipedia. Following the destruction of the Second Temple in 70 AD, Pharisaic beliefs became the foundational, liturgical, and ritualistic basis for Rabbinic Judaism. Rabbinic Judaism eventually emerged as normative Judaism, and in fact, many referred to Rabbinic Judaism simply as Judaism. So I could imagine a zealous person taking Matthew 23, 3 to heart and trying to do whatever the rabbis say. And this would mean following the code of Jewish law, a subject that I don't have time for. But the code of Jewish law is not the same as keeping Torah. The point Jesus was making when he said, "Why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition?" And I could also imagine some churches saying that they are now the authority and everyone must do as they say. Another problem with observing and doing what the Pharisees said is that different factions of the Pharisees didn't agree with each other. And that is still true today. We have no instruction on which sect of Pharisaism we might have to obey. The one thing that they agreed on was that they didn't, and still don't, believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus did not tell us to obey rabbis that don't believe him. Okay, what about Moses' chair? That was the other thing mentioned in verses 1 and 2 of Matthew 23. I used to think that Moses' chair referred to the priesthood that operated in the temple. That is the actual authority of Moses. It actually refers to a physical chair in each synagogue. When scripture was read, it was always done from that chair, known as the chair of Moses, or the seat of Moses. Another quote, when Yeshua told the people of Israel to listen to the scribes and Pharisees when they read from Moses' seat, he meant it in a literal way. So in reading the Bible, and especially when trying to understand a difficult scripture, it's valuable to look at history, language, and context. So far, we have seen that the obvious meaning of Matthew 23:3, to do what the Pharisees say, doesn't really square with history and context. Well, what about language? Are there any clues that would shed light on the meaning? I checked all the translations on Bible Hub, and that's about 40 translations, and they all say basically the same thing as the King James, including the Greek text. I checked that too. But manuscripts of the Gospel of Matthew exist in Hebrew. There's 28 such manuscripts that have been discovered so far, and scholars have determined they are not direct translations from the Greek. And some argue that Matthew first wrote his gospel in Greek and then in Hebrew, and that claim goes back to about 100 AD. And some of the Hebrew manuscripts read this way. The Pharisees and sages sit upon the seat of Moses. Therefore, all that he says to you, diligently do. But according to their reforms and their precedents, do not, because they talk and they do not do. Now, I want to emphasize the important part. Some manuscripts of the Hebrew Gospel of Matthew read, all that he says to you, diligently do. Where the Greek says, all that they say to you, diligently do. So the singular he obviously can't refer to the scribes and Pharisees. It refers to Moses. When the Torah is read from the chair of Moses, do what Moses says. Not as the Pharisees say all the time. In Hebrew, the difference between he says and they say is just one letter. And to be fair, there are some Hebrew manuscripts that say, all that they say to you. Now, some articles on the internet come to the understanding of do what Moses said based on history and context alone, like the quote that I gave earlier. When Yeshua told the people of Israel to listen to the scribes and Pharisees when they read from Moses' seat, he meant it in a literal way. But my point is the alternate Hebrew Matthew harmonizes history, language, and context in a clearer way. Now, this does not mean that we throw out the Greek New Testament manuscripts, and it does not mean that we can't trust the Greek manuscripts. The Greek New Testament is by far the most well-documented ancient text. The gospel could not have been preached for the last 2,000 years without the Greek. The Hebrew was only known to Hebrew scholars until George Howard translated the Gospel of Matthew in 1987. He knew of only 9 manuscripts of the Hebrew Matthew. Now scholars have 28 to study. I have read a translation of the Hebrew Matthew, which was translated from a manuscript found in the Vatican libraries. And it's available online if you care to look at it. It is a very literal translation and lacks the eloquence of the King James. Other Hebrew Gospels have been discovered since George Howard's translation as well. And the Hebrew Gospels do not replace the Greek, but they add another witness and helpful context, historical context of the time. And it's a witness to Jesus' life and teachings. So the real meaning of Matthew 23:3 is not to observe and do everything that the Pharisees or the rabbis tell you to do, but to observe and do what Moses wrote in the Torah. And if you want any of these references, you'll see that online when the transcript is uploaded.